Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great day today. And again, we had a marvelous, marvelous service last night with Evangelist Tim Booth. God met with us and stirred our hearts and spoke to our hearts, and good decisions were made for the Lord last night, and a good crowd for Monday night, and the same in the Spanish church. And you still have time to come out tonight to join us at 6:30 on the English side, 7 o'clock on the Spanish side, and again Wednesday night at 6:30 on the English and 7 on the Spanish. And we hope you can come out and join us. You will really enjoy Evangelist Tim Booth. Now, if your Bible's nearby, I want you to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And beginning in verse 35, the Bible says, "Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit today about get them to Jesus. In the text we read, there was only one follower of Jesus, but he finds one and brought him to Jesus, who in turn went and found someone and brought him to Jesus. And the truth is, each and every believer is different as far as how they got to Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. But there are innumerable ways that people come to know Jesus as their Savior. However, everybody who comes to Jesus has some fundamental things in common. Number one, they know they're a sinner. It doesn't matter, bad sinner, good sinner, we're all sinners. I've violated God's standard of perfection. The Bible doesn't say anything about degrees of sin. In fact, it says one sin would disqualify us from heaven. So we're all sinners. And then that we have in common that we deserve a spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, and that death is separation from God, suffering and torment in hell. God's perfection and God's holiness demand justice. We also know that we cannot save ourselves. There's no amount of good works that can undo our sin. There's no compensation I can make for my sin. There's no scale that would weigh out my good deeds versus my bad deeds. There's nothing that could tip the scale in the right way. Imagine you're guilty of a crime and you stand before a judge for sentencing. And then you begin to say, well, judge, you have no idea how many good things I've done. He would say that has nothing to do with your crime. I'm glad to hear you're otherwise a good person. Maybe we'll arrange to get a certificate to hang on your wall in your jail cell. Any certificates that people can take with them to hell are going to burn up, my friend. So mankind today is still trying to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. But mankind doesn't need a boost from beneath. They need a birth from above. And so the other thing we have in common is we have to realize I can't save myself. Only Jesus can save me. He's not a way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. You go God's way or you don't go at all. You say, Pastor, are you saying that a Buddhist without Christ can't go to heaven? Or a Muslim without Christ can't go to heaven? Or a Hindu without Christ can't go to heaven? And I would say to you, yes, that's what I'm saying. But I'll go further than that. A Baptist can't go to heaven without Christ. A Lutheran can't go to heaven without Christ. A Catholic can't go to heaven without Christ. You can have your name on the church membership list, but if you're not written on the Lamb's Book of Life, then you won't go to heaven. You may have gone through some religious ritual, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not saved. You must turn to Jesus for salvation. So all conversions, all people who've been saved have these things in common. Now, there's five different people come to Jesus in John chapter 1. How do people come to Jesus? If we're going to get them to Jesus, how do we get them there? Number one, we get them there personally and individually. John the Baptist has two followers, Andrew and John, the writer of this gospel. He doesn't call himself John, but he calls himself the other disciple or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as they walked, Jesus walked by. They left John the Baptist and followed Jesus. And immediately they begin to seek out others. Andrew finds his brother Peter. Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Nathanael. And suddenly there's five following Jesus. But each had to make a personal, individual decision. Oh, I know that it's great when we see people saved in mass or in a coliseum, big masses in a coliseum or some great evangelistic campaign or a TV broadcast. But the truth is, most people come to Jesus one at a time. And each one is reached by one. And really, it's the Bible way. Now, you may have been saved at the same time as somebody else, but not because you were following them, but because you made an individual, personal decision on your own to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Being in the Christian household doesn't make you a Christian. Being in what's called a Christian nation doesn't make you a Christian. Being in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I've always been a Christian. No, you must at some point follow the idea above that all have sinned, a price to pay for sin. Jesus paid the price for you, and you must by faith trust him as your Savior and receive his gift of eternal life. And that's when you're born spiritually. You've been born physically, but you've not been born again spiritually. No one's always been a Christian. You get saved personally and individually. Number two, you get saved humbly. How do you come to Jesus? You come humbly. Jesus, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. You notice, they left John as soon as Jesus came on the scene. His ministry was not about building up himself or building his own kingdom. He realized that the movement he's involved in had one leader, and that leader was Jesus Christ. Does not matter what allocates or accolades or notoriety the preacher may get. My job and the preacher's job is to point people to Jesus. Our job is not to be a self-promoter. Our job is not to build us a kingdom. Adoniram Judson, the father of modern-day missions, went to Burma. We was immediately imprisoned, tortured, and starved nearly to death. During that 7 years in prison in between torture sessions, he translated the Bible into Burmese. Upon his release, he quickly reached 1,100 people and went on to legendary fame. 33 years later, he returned to America for the first time, and people lined up the port chanting his name. And as the ship pulled into the port, his colleague asked him why he was crying. And he said, I don't want them cheering for me. They ought to be cheering for Jesus. Are you trying to make a name for yourself? You're missing the boat, my friend. We're to be consumed with making much of Jesus. How do people come to Jesus personally, individually? They come humbly. They come through priority. Here in verse 40 and 41, it says, Andrew first findeth his own brother Peter. Man, when you find a great deal of the story, you tell others. If you find a cure for your ailment, you tell others who are suffering. You want to share it with others, especially those you love. Well, there's something far greater and more glorious than a store sale or a cure for some physical illness. I've been healed from sin sickness. And I want everybody to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I've been born again. Oh, make winning others to Christ a priority. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat. It's a lifeboat. Entertainers are not needed or wanted. From the captain to the cook, all hands are on deck for soul saving. Church that does not save the lost is lost itself. A sower went out to sow, Jesus said. An unnamed personality. Not a preacher, not a deacon, just a sower. Every person in the church should be a seed sower. Are you sowing the seed? Are you telling others the gospel? Oh, I don't know about you. There's plenty of lost people all over our city. There's plenty of lost people in Grove City and Columbus. They're next door to you. They work with you. They meet you at the shop. They see you at the drugstore. We could all witness to somebody if it was a priority. Who have you told about Jesus this week? Is it a priority in your life? How do people come to Jesus personally and individually? How do they come? Humbly, by way of humility. How do they come? Through priority. How do they come? With enthusiasm. He findeth, and he found him. They both come from a word that we get our word Eureka from. You know, when someone says, I found it, say, Eureka! They'd scream it during the California Gold Rush. It was excitement. It was jubilation. It's a happy word. That's why I don't know why they ever called a vacuum a Eureka. No, we found him. We have found him. He's the Christ. Andrew, when he told Peter that I found the Christ, I don't think he said it in a lazy monotone voice. Hey, Peter, guess who we met today? Oh, no. Peter, we met the Christ. We met the Messiah. I believe he screamed it with enthusiasm. When it comes to witnessing to someone, an ounce of enthusiasm beats a pound of head knowledge. Why should they want what you've got otherwise? You don't need more head knowledge to start witnessing. You simply share what you know. You're called to be a witness, not a prosecutor. You're not going to convince somebody by making a case against them. Let them see the truth in your eyes, in your life, and in your voice. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. So often we're afraid of making a mistake, and instead we make the mistake of not even trying. Philip made a mistake. He said, Nathanael, we found him who was written in the Moses and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Jesus wasn't a son of Joseph. Did that mess it up? So he's son of Mary, but not Joseph, his stepson. Joseph wasn't his father. But did that mess up the deal? No, Nathanael still got saved. Bringing people to Jesus isn't the preacher's job. It's not the missionary's job. It's all of our job. Find your loved one. Find your friend. Find your coworker. Find your neighbor, a stranger. Get them to Jesus. Can God, will you use me to reach one for you? Let me ask you a question. If somebody would offer you $1,000 for every soul you would earnestly try to lead to Christ this week, would you endeavor to lead any more souls to him than you're endeavoring to do right now? Is it possible that you would attempt to do for money what you now hesitate or shrink away from doing in obedience to God's command? Is your love of money stronger than your love for God and your love for the souls of men? Let's get them to Jesus. Church, let's get back to the main job. Let's tell folks about Jesus. How do we win them? Personally and individually. How do we win them? By way of humility, humbly. How do we win them? Through priority. How do we win them? With enthusiasm. Let's get them to Jesus. Thanks for listening to Words to Encourage Radio today. I look forward to seeing some of you in the church service tonight, 6:30 for the revival meeting. And then, of course, we'll be back on the radio again tomorrow. And tomorrow, I want to talk about that little phrase, here I raise my Ebenezer. All right? And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.